We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You are listening to Talking Stone While Getting Stuff, episode 195. My name, the number one host of the most, Mr. Morgan, the guy that almost number one spot, but not quite, Mr. Austin. How the fuck is it going, buddy?
No, I think I'm in the top spot. Yeah, it's
you're definitely
good.
Top two.
I am definitely top two for sure. Arguably top three.
You're pushing it.
Okay, well, that is worse. But hey, anyway, so yeah, life is happening. I feel like I haven't been focusing on my life because playoffs, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I hear you, bro. Or sorry, guy, my guy. Whatever I'm supposed to say. I'm sorry.
Jesus, figure it out.
Nah,
and
too much effort.
Yeah, no, I'm doing good. I've had some interesting days at work. I work in a mall, and it's closer to kind of the downtown of Victoria, and there is some interesting characters. I tell you what, for example, 2 days ago, I was waiting for the bus to go home after work. Just tired and wanting to go home. And I look over and this woman just kind of flings herself into traffic.
Oh, shit.
And the car stopped in time. And so, like, she didn't get hit or anything. But she just kind of laid there for a while. And then her friend, I think, or someone who knows her, was like yelling at her to get out of the road. She wouldn't move. So he literally like dragged her off of the road. And then she kept trying to go back into traffic. So
I really hope that lady got some, sounds like very much needed help.
Yeah, well, and that was the thing. I don't know if she was just really drunk or really high on something or really just, it was
combination of all three.
Well, and I think too, partly because nobody actually, got hurt or anything, it's still kind of like, what the fuck? Just kind of silly, like ridiculous.
Something you definitely don't expect to see on your commute home.
But I mean, keeping in mind too, this is the same stretch of road where I'll go to get coffee in the morning and then look across the street and there's a homeless man shitting at the bus stop.
Austin, we've talked about this. You're supposed to go when you're still at home.
Oh, was I not was I looking in a mirror again?
Yeah, the glass on the bus stop has that reflection. I'm assuming that's what you're seeing.
Oh man. Oh, this is awkward. Wow, now I know why that guy did it. Was so upset with me. Okay, well, moving on.
Again, yeah. Were you talking about the reflection or some other guy that was upset with you? It'd be hilarious if your own reflection.
I was
reflection.
Upset with myself?
Yeah.
Just the whole thing was just me.
Yeah, probably was. We all got issues.
That is actually, there's a theory. I can't remember what it's called, but there's a theory that technically speaking, you can't really prove anybody else exists other than yourself.
Whoa, we're getting real deep.
It could just be everybody else. Everything else is just a figment of our imagination. Now, I don't think that's true, but I have actually looked into that. And the more you read about it and look into it, the more you're kind of like, huh.
Fair.
So, but anyway,
the entire time while you're talking about the real deep stuff, I was thinking, since you've been struggling trying to come up with our titles lately, real deep has got to be our
real
title.
Deep?
Yeah, that's
because we're talking
be.
About playoff runs, right?
something. Who knows? You have to listen to find out, I guess, don't you?
Real deep, dot, 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 playoff runs.
Be some type of runs, that's for sure.
Hey, yo. Poop. And, yeah, I feel like we should probably start the show because this is getting
well,
bad.
I still have to talk about what I've been up to.
I mean, you don't have to.
I want to.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, first off, I have to get this out there because sometimes living in Saskatchewan throws people on for a loop. So it's been quite nice weather-wise here. Basically since April started.
Nice.
The prices went up, the weather went up.
Uh-huh. The weather went up?
Well, in temperature.
Okay. Just the weather, though. I like that.
But now, later this week, maybe even by the time you guys listen to this, Saskatchewan is expecting about 20 centimeters of snow in the middle of April. So that's something I got looking forward to. But hey, people got mad at me switching my work schedule around, so now I'm back in the city. So I hope that there's a massive blizzard and people struggle. Did I say that out loud? Oh well. Something else I've been doing that I want to, you know, talk about and basically see if Austin's been doing the same thing. Maybe not. Uh-oh. But have you been watching this new Fallout show?
It came out on the 10th. I was done on the 11th.
Okay, well, no spoilers for me. I'm only 3.5 episodes in. I'm trying to savor the moment.
Yeah, I did not do that.
Have you ever played any of the Fallout games?
I played 3. I still do. Played New Vegas. Still do. And played some Fallout 4 and Fallout 76. So,
well, 76 can go shit on itself. Like Austin does at the bus stop.
Exactly. But
it's making me want to re-download the games, even though it really has nothing to do with the actual storyline of the game itself.
Not with a story, no.
But there's definitely stuff from the games that are in it. And, oh, it's, I guess I can't talk too much about it because you will might spoil stuff for me. But episode one, I was hooked.
I will say there is some things I can talk about that won't spoil anything. I really, as a big Fallout fan, who's somebody who's put in hundreds of hours into this game, mm-hmm. if not over 1,000, the sound and the music, right? Like the sound, yeah. I don't know if you've heard it yet, but like of the Pip-Boys and just the background music.
They got the sound effects right.
It sounds like Fallout, which is really cool.
Well, Bethesda has actually came out and said that, made it clear that this game isn't going to have any influence on, or this movie or show isn't going to have any influence on the games itself. But right. they were able to pull anything
from the games
they wanted, so they had free range on that.
Yeah, it was truly like the sound design, the set design. It looks and felt like Fallout.
Yeah, like even right down to like the Vault-Tec suits that you have, like
Vault-Tec suits, the stim packs, the friggin' left, right, and center. I really enjoyed it. All I'll say about the series, or kind of not a spoiler, but they set up season 2 really well. Put it that way.
That's good. Well, I think we said enough. There might, maybe there's going to be people listening that haven't. Well, first of all, people have listened. But secondly, maybe if they do listen, they haven't watched the show themselves. So I highly recommend it. It's a great show. Even if you haven't played the games, if you just like the, is it just go into it thinking it's another zombie show.
Oh, it's
like end of the world type stuff.
Oh yeah.
You can put the video game stuff to the side, which also makes the show great. That it's, they did a great job of making it for all audiences. So
yes.
Other than that, I've just, you know, been doing other nerdy stuff, playing video games, some dodgeball, whatnot. Slow Pitch is starting up, so I'm looking forward to that. But I'm not looking forward to that as much as something that's happening in the sport world, which both you and I are not good enough to participate in, but definitely good enough to watch. So now we can start getting to the rest of the show and get our butts over to the exciting part here.
Okay. Well, listen to the show. I guess at this point you already are, but you should tell somebody else about it and get them to tell somebody else about it and get them to tell somebody else about it and get someone. Okay, sorry. I was really hoping you were
going to. No, I'm lost. What does that last person do?
Well, they tell somebody. And then you're going to get that person. Okay. at TSWGSPod on TikTok. That's probably our most active place for social media. Mostly because I've been locked out of the Twitter account. But.
Yeah, whatever.
Rate, download, all that good stuff. And Morgan's turn.
Well, I wouldn't keep this simple. Sweet, short, like I know, like my.
Nope, you keep extending it. You've made it longer than it should have.
Shit. I guess I usually keep it real short and sweet and simple. Now I'm keeping it really long and simple. Because nope. Still capture Morgan too.
There we go.
Based on anything. If you want to add a second two onto some of the things, go ahead. It might work.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know what it'll work on, but I know I use that sometimes on things too.
Let's see. I'm going to Google it right now.
Oh, no. Not the Google. While Austin's Googling some nonsense, we were actually going to start off, and please don't ruin this part of it. Wait till something a little less damper.
Yeah.
The rider community / football community, CFL community, over this past week, basically right after we finished recording, lost someone very huge in the community. He was the Riders' former CEO, Jim Hobson, passed away to colon cancer, stage 4 colon cancer. He's had it since April 2021, and just recently, he was, you know, age of 73, he decided not to continue with his chemo anymore, and he was, you know, knew his time was coming and all that stuff. I don't know if that makes it better or not, but he was just a great guy, and lots of the times when we're talking about this, we don't have any thing personally to base it on. However, I actually met Jim Hobson as when he was the CEO of the Riders back when I was playing high school football. He was literally my first ever Riders signature that I've gotten. Unfortunately, after many, many moves, I lost the shirt I got signed on. He talked to our team. Amazing man. He definitely knows his football. And he helped bring not one, but two Grey Cups to the Riders organization out of the four in total that they've won. So
not bad. It's pretty good numbers for him.
And I heard this story on another podcast. When he became the CEO for the Riders in 05, he said during his press conference that they're going to win multiple Grey Cups. People thought he was crazy. Well, 07, so 2 years later, they win their first one. And then 2013 wins the second one. So, hell of a guy. He's going to be missed all over the CFL community. You just can't say enough nice things about the guy. And me personally, I'm very grateful that I actually got to meet the man. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to say before we somehow transition?
No, I mean, you said it pretty well. He definitely left a huge mark on both the Riders and the CFL. Obviously, like you mentioned, winning 50% of the Riders' total Grey Cups. And the fact that he definitely wasn't there the whole 100-and-some years that team's been there. So
he also played with the team for 4 years,
which is cool. That's great. He played for the team. He helped run the team. Like, it's
with players like you might have heard these guys, George Reed or Ron Lancaster.
Yeah,
he got to play with both. So he's won two Grey Cups as a CEO. Didn't win any as a player, but yeah.
No, impressive career. You never like to see someone go, and especially from cancer. So he will be missed, but he will not be forgotten.
Definitely not. But moving right along, to another retirement. We talked about retirements last episode, and this one, for me anyways, kind of comes out of left field. Kind of surprises me, because if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Sean Lemon, after winning the Grey Cup with Montreal, ended up extending his contract with Montreal, which no surprise there.
Right.
But now turns around and announces his retirement. 35 years old. He's won three Grey Cups. He won it back with fucking Calgary in 2014. Yeah, and then Sean Lemon's been one of those players that's bounced around with multiple different teams. Not quite like Henry Burris, where he's been part of every team.
Has Henry Burris played for every team?
He's at least been under contract for every team. He hasn't suited up for couple of teams, but he has been under contract for every team, yes.
God damn. That's hilarious. I mean, I know it's not a ton of teams, but it's still like, damn. Sorry.
Well, yeah, especially for a quarterback to do something like that.
Yes.
I'm trying to find some more stats on Sean Lemon here, but I remember watching him play for the Riders as well back in mid-2000s. The guy's a beast. Lots of I really don't know why teams keep getting rid of him after keeps proving time and time again that he still has it, especially in his later career. Like for example, last season he comes in halfway through with Montreal because no one seemed to want him, and then he lights up and was a huge part, especially on the defensive side of things, why Montreal ended up winning the Grey Cup. So, oh yeah, actually, it's right here. After Montreal got Lemon, they went 12-4, including the postseason. He had 26 tackles, 9 sacks, 2 interceptions, 1 forced fumble in 13 games.
Yeah,
regular season games. So it's like I said, he was definitely quite the difference maker. Yeah, I'm still in a little bit of shock that he decided to retire. I really thought he was going to try and run it back with Montreal and with the excitement of winning the Grey Cup and stuff like that. I guess at one point he thought that as well. Otherwise, he wouldn't have resigned. Unless if I'm completely mistaken, which please let me know if I am, people.
Would be pretty funny.
But yeah, Sean Lemon, hell of a career. If he's not a Hall of Famer, then I don't know who is. He has over 100 sacks, I do believe, and 14. I think he played for 14 seasons. 14-year career. Hell of a career. I expect
absolutely
first ballot. He's in the Hall of Fame. So
I think you're right.
Anything more you want to say about football before? I'm sure you're just vibrating right now.
No, it's all good. You said it pretty well. I don't know. I don't know if I could say it better than you did.
Good. Save all your energy for what we got to talk about in the next part of our show. I think probably what any sport fan was waiting for us to Dinglebats talk about. The more exciting things.
Is that what we are?
That's what we're this episode, apparently.
Dinglebats?
Do you have something wrong with that?
No, but moving on.
Let's talk hockey. Or dinglebats. You bet.
Or dinglebats. One of the two. So.
There's definitely some dinglebats in hockey.
Before the end of the trade deadline this year, the Calgary Flames shipped out a lot of their players. One of them, Noah Hanifin. He got sent to the Golden Knights. I can't remember the term return. Doesn't really matter for this. But there, I believe you may have mentioned it, or I've seen it online, I know for sure. There was a bit of a feeling that potentially Noah Hanifin could.
Yeah, I definitely mentioned it.
Come back to the Flames.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about, like, because there's contract talk heavy contract talk when he was still with the Flames.
Oh, no, I wasn't even going to do that. I was talking like after the trade got went through, there was the thought of maybe he signs in the offseason with the Flames.
There's the hope. I think there's more hope than actual
think that he's going to happen. And that's not looking so so promising because Noah Hanifin has signed an 8-year deal, cap hit of 7.35 per. Get a full no trade clause for the first 6 seasons and 15 no trade list for the last 2. So unless he wants to get traded, he will not get traded. It's an interesting Vegas is always interesting.
Yeah.
I will give them that. Never a dull moment, and I don't really know how their cap works because
they sure know how to work it though.
But they sure do. They sure do. And no, it's impressive. He's the only other but they also got Petro at 8.8 million. I don't know.
Someone's just going to have to get a very serious paper cut every season, that's all.
Well,
we'll talk about that more later on, I think.
So Vegas locks up a good in his prime puck moving defenseman.
I have a slight rant for this.
Okay, well, you rant for like a little bit. I just got to pee real quick.
Oh, usually he waits till the end of the show.
Well, it's different today.
The coffee is strong within him. No, like this contract really, really pisses me off. Mostly because the Calgary Flames, the rumors had it, they were throwing around very similar numbers. I think maybe closer to like the million less, maybe a year less, but you're telling me that they couldn't give the little extra to the caliber of this type of defenseman. Maybe they didn't want to toss in the no trade clause because we've all seen how much Calgary sure likes trading people, but this contract really isn't that outrageous. And I'm kind of worried that Calgary is tied up too much money in their offensive guys right now, that maybe this type of contract for a defenseman wasn't in the books. But I'm also very happy on a different note of what Calgary has been doing with their, I don't want to call it rebuild, but retool. I don't know if Austin's back yet or not.
I sure am.
Oh, beautiful. I did it. High five me. Was that good on the audio? Let me know.
So, I think I have a reason.
Okay.
As to why, because you were mentioning like, oh, why couldn't Calgary, you know, pay that price or whatever.
That price, like they were, this contract was very, very close to, from my understanding, to what Calgary was throwing out there.
Well, I may have another reason. Calgary would have had to pay Noah Hanifin way more than 7.3 if he wanted to make the same amount of money.
True, because of taxes.
Well, and I did some math here while I came back.
Oh, so, you're multitasking, peeing and math.
Buddy, I'm an expert. So there is a tax calculator for Alberta, and I put in the yearly salary of Noah Hanifin. So salary 7.35 million. Guess what his take home after taxes would be?
I My brain's too tired to do math.
3.8.
Ooh.
Because it'd be 2.4 mil in federal tax and just over a million in provincial tax. And about 4,700 in CPP and EI.
That really puts into perspective why, like, people keep saying it's the team itself. People don't want to play for. No, people love playing for the Calgary Flames. People just don't like playing in Alberta.
Well, playing for half the money. And it's not just Alberta. It's all over Canada.
True.
But, and then I looked up Las Vegas and Nevada. And guess what? Nevada, zero income tax.
Yeah.
So, in terms of just, if we're looking at it, just strictly financial, Calgary would have had to offer, like, insane amount of money more just for him to get what was equal. Now, I will say they are paid in American dollars. So it would actually work out to be more Canadian than what I was quoting. But mm-hmm. the point still stands. From a financial aspect, I understand when players want to go to the, or want to play in the States.
Yeah, I get it. I forget exactly where Noah Hanifin is from as well.
That's fair.
That's something I can look up while you're.
Yeah, he is American. That's
fair. You kind of hinted at it in this article of what the Flames got for the return. I know we talked about it, but that's when they got Daniel Marom. Oh, I'm beautiful at saying names. Oh, yeah, and a first-round draft pick.
Daniil Miramanov, first-rounder in 2026 and a third-rounder in 2024.
Yeah. So.
Pretty decent haul because Miramanov was a first-round pick for the Golden Knights. Now, keep in mind, it was a later-round pick, but hey, it's a first-round pick.
He's already gotten a couple goals with the Flames.
So. There you go. That's pretty cool. Is he a forward?
Nope, defenseman.
Oh, hell yeah, even better. Now, here we go. This is long overdue.
Ooh.
And unless you want to talk about anything else with
Hanifin. No, go on.
Trade. Okay. Well, a long, long time ago. The Winnipeg Jets 1.0 were a team. And they ran out of money. Basically, the economy was not good. People weren't good playing to see. They just wasn't. It wasn't good. And they had to move. So, 1996, they shifted to the Phoenix downtown. Then played at the Heal Arena so they were there for like 7 years. And then they were at Gila River until 2022, but then the ship really started going downhill. Now, this team, the Arizona Coyotes, has been in an absolute tire fire.
I'm not going to lie, I was very confused at the start where you're going with this.
No, that's fair.
It's like, why are you talking about the Jets?
Well, just bear with me.
I'm caught up now.
Right? So just thank you for holding on for the ride. Now,
it was a bumpy one, but I got there.
I think part of the reason I brought up the Jets 1.0 is because the NHL saw that they were struggling and moved them. Right? That is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the Arizona Coyotes struggled since they got there, basically, to keep a fan base, to keep an arena, to keep a competitive team.
Yeah, it's been rough.
They had one playoff run.
And that saved them for a year or two.
2011, 2012, like a decade.
Well, I mean, it extended their lifespan, I think.
It's just, there was nothing. In fact, NHL actually had to, team was under unstable under ownership. The NHL took over, if you'll remember, in 2009. Because the team filed for bankruptcy. But then it was purchased again in 2013. It's just been a tumultuous history.
Gary Bettman refuses to let this team go.
Well, and that's the thing. And that's why. And I love this sport so much.
Yeah.
But motherfucker, do I hate the guy that runs shit.
And when you have stuff like this going on in the middle of it, it's hard to attract like new fans. In my mind, it definitely puts a sour taste out there.
Absolutely. And finally, after what felt like forever, all of a sudden, the wheels are in motion.
Yeah, kind of out of nowhere, really.
Yes and no, but yes. So, the players have been informed that it is essentially done. The deal isn't officially done yet, but all signs are pointing to the Coyotes. So here's the thing. Here's how it works. The Coyotes are going to be sold to the NHL. The NHL is going to purchase the Coyotes for $1 billion. Right?
The big B. Now,
if you're Alex Murillo, who just purchased the Coyotes back in 2019 for $300 million, not a bad deal. Now, to be fair, he did also take on some debt when he purchased the team.
Yes.
Because the team is in a lot of debt. So from what I've heard, he's going to probably in the neighborhood of get about $300 to $400 billion out of the deal, which still a pretty good investment.
Yeah.
Double your money, right? That's not bad. So, and then what's going to happen then is the NHL will then sell the team to the Utah ownership group. And it throws me off every time, but the guy that's kind of leading the charge is Ryan Smith. And it's not the Ryan Smith you're thinking of.
I wasn't thinking about him. He doesn't have that type of money.
He definitely does not. But this Ryan Smith does, because he owns the Utah Jazz. And or part of the Smith Entertainment Group, whatever. But anyway, it's... So, yeah, they're going to sell the team to them for $1.3 billion. And then you're going to probably think, well, hold on. The NHL is just going to make profit out of this? Actually, no. But kind of yes. So, the profit from that sale over the purchase, right, the $300 million, will get split evenly amongst the teams in the NHL.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so teams that need kind of an influx of cash will get that, which is cool, because not every team has an incredibly wealthy ownership group.
And a team right. like Toronto will just keep printing money?
Well, when you consider the fact that the two companies that own the Toronto Maple Leafs are Rogers and Bell, they got money.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely do.
They got money. It's I mean, Rogers just bought Shaw last year for like $26 billion. So, yeah, no, they got money. So it's looking like they're going to be moving to Salt Lake City. And I don't know. I hope it's successful. I hope it works. I think with better ownership, I think with ownership makes all the difference, right?
And that's true.
If this Ryan Smith guy really wants to win and really wants this team to do well, I think they will. I know it's not an expansion team, it's a relocation, but Look at Bill Foley, right? The owner of the Golden Knights. We're going to win a cup in 5 years. What do? They won a goddamn cup in 5 years.
See, this bringing it back to the Jim Hopson. I know he wasn't an owner, but sometimes these higher-ups, they're not just all suits.
It's true.
Which is nice to see. But now I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought about Salt Lake City being a hockey franchise, because I honestly don't know very much about that area of North America, and I don't know how hockey heavy they are over there.
Yeah,
it could be interesting.
So Salt Lake City was I believe they hosted the 2002 Olympics. Winter Olympics. They definitely have a flavor for hockey. I don't know tons about the the area and all that, but I don't see it going worse than it has in Arizona, because if you'll remember, they play at a college arena.
Yeah, they're going to be playing the same place that the Jazz play out of.
Exactly.
So it's going to be a proper, more proper size
now,
rink. So
some people have already brought up the fact that there will be some kind of blind spots in the arena just based on the architecture and how they have to convert it for hockey, but it's still going to be better than what they're playing with right now.
Yeah, and hopefully they can, if the money starts rolling in, maybe they can start improving that even more. But
yeah,
it is kind of interesting. I was reading here that they were kind of making two schedules, one as if the team was still out of Arizona, and another one if the team was from Salt Lake. So
yeah, it's basically a contingency, right? But yeah, it is interesting to have the dueling schedules.
I would hate to be a schedule maker in a professional sport.
Oh, buddy. No thanks.
I know people that struggle through it just in, like, rec dodgeball and stuff.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, because you don't even have to, because lots of these arenas and stuff, like we're talking about, the Coyotes will be playing where the Jazz play. You have to look at their schedule too, and you have to figure out everything, different events.
But just like every other arena, right?
No, I get it. Like, I was just using this place as an example. It's the thing for all sports. Be nuts.
The stress. And then always people will complain, well, why is it this way? No, is it this way? It's like,
because it has to be.
Because it literally has to be. There's not an option for it to not be this way.
Yeah, like, that's why whenever I look at a schedule, I complain, but I more or less keep it to myself or on this podcast.
But I think it's one of those things where it's like, if it looks weird, it's like, it's probably weird for a reason.
Yep. I understand that it's like that for a particular reason. Some things, it's like, well, could you not maybe tweak it a little bit? But you can't.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. You can't win them all.
No.
But I think this is the most we've ever talked about Arizona Coyotes.
I think that is true. And it's because they're moving. And I think it's time to, before we talk playoffs, in fact, well, actually, that might even work for next episode, now that I'm thinking about it. Because we could do a wrap-up here of the season.
We'll see how it plays out.
We'll see how it goes, folks. You're seeing behind the curtain. What a season it's been. you know. We've had big fights. We've had rookies coming into the league and just wrecking shop. We've had incredible points totals that we haven't seen for a while. Scoring is... Here's the thing, though. On a league level, scoring is not actually up that much. In fact, it's not up at all. It's just individuals are putting up more points. And certain ones obviously aren't.
Yeah, personally, I don't know. It's kind of weird because it seems like I've seen more blowout games. But I guess with that being said, again, that's just certain teams that are keep blowing out other teams because certain players keep fucking scoring.
So this is true. And it's not much of a race now it hasn't been for a while for the Maurice Richard trophy, the Rocket Richard trophy. Because Austin Matthews is your league leader with 69 goals, which first of all, nice. Second of all, super nice. Third of all, aggressively impressive. This guy, Austin Matthews, has more goals in a single season than any player who is still active in the NHL.
Which is insane. Especially with like the talent that we've seen come up into the NHL over the last decade.
The fact that Matthews has a higher goal scoring season than Ovechkin.
Yeah.
And Ovechkin is already like, everyone's like, oh, he's the greatest goal scorer of all time. Well, now, it's not only is the 69 goals impressive, it's the lead he has over the next guys. Right? Because, like, if you took out Matthews, it would actually look like a regular, like, normal scoring race.
Because one of these things are not like the other.
Literally, number two, we have Sam Reinhart with 55. He's 14 goals behind Matthews.
Yeah. And 55, that's a hell of a season.
Hell of a season. Zach Hyman, 53. Great season. Nathan MacKinnon, 51. Excellent. Artemi Panarin, 48. Not bad.
Hell, most seasons, people right now would be on the Panarin watch to see if he reaches 50. It may be past that.
But that's the thing. It doesn't matter when somebody might hit 70 now.
They could do it today as of recording.
Well,
I believe they play Tampa.
They do not play today.
Okay, that's tomorrow I'm thinking of.
They play Florida tomorrow. So they play Florida tomorrow, and then they play Lightning the next day. Now, hear me out. I don't know if Matthews is going to play.
I think so.
They
have three games left, don't they?
They have two, Florida and Tampa. Now,
I thought they played Tampa back-to-back.
They play Florida and then Tampa. It's a back-to-back. So,
finish off the season rough.
Well, and here's the thing. None of those teams have anything to lose. They don't move up or down in the standings based on any of the results of these games.
Florida could.
Nope.
They're 1 point behind Boston.
Not as of yesterday or whatever when I heard that. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're still in the playoffs is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You go against Florida, you go against Tampa, you don't think they're going to try to fuck up Austin Matthews?
True.
Really? You don't think they're going to try to fucking destroy him?
I mean, you have a valid point, but...
It's the difference between, 70 goals and, first round exit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is it worth it to risk it? Or do you sit him? You rest him. Let him fucking sit for the playoffs. be ready. It's.
I would personally sit him for the Florida game and play him in the Tampa.
Well, and that's, I see, I maybe, because I know Florida, they've actually, at one point, they came out and said, we play like there's no puck for the first 10 minutes, which essentially means they're just trying to hit you for the first 10 minutes. Yeah. Now,
and Florida's, like, they still have something to play for, because what I'm looking at right now, they're 1 point away from first place. They want that home ice. So I
no,
say
if they're no dude, because if they become first, then they have to play. Do you really think they want to play Tampa more than they want to play the Leafs?
Yes,
dude.
Tampa is a first round exit,
buddy.
Straight up,
buddy. Tampa Bay is, oh my god.
Toronto's going three rounds deep. They're out in the third round.
That's so. Oh man, dude. I didn't know that you could be this wrong. The Florida Panthers made the Leafs look like a fucking joke. That's absolute fine. Joke. It's not. No. If you're Florida, you want Toronto. You do not want Tampa Bay.
You're going to have to beat them both regardless.
Not necessarily.
Well, I guess that would mean what, Tampa would then be playing Boston if they don't play Florida?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Florida still wants first. They want home ice.
But you're underestimating. They didn't have home ice last year and they went to the
Stanley. No, I get it. I understand.
Okay. It Florida Panthers and their fans. We're so triggered by the Leafs yelling, "We want Florida." Yes. They're still upset about it. Everyone in Florida wants Tampa Bay, or they want Toronto, not Tampa Bay. That's, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. But either way, you do not put out your big guns against the Panthers, because if you're the Leafs, you don't have anything to gain.
No, that's definitely true.
So that's my opinion. It's just, the personal record long term really doesn't mean.
And plus, if Matthews wants that 70 goals so bad, and if the decision is in his hands, which it might partially be, I know the coach would get the ultimate say, but if he wants that 70 goals so bad, Tampa's probably going to be easier. Although they got the goalie, but
they got the goalie, they also have the leading scorer in the league in terms of points, at least.
Yeah, the scorer doesn't, you know, it's the defenseman that will have to stop Matthews. It can be a 10-11 game for all we know. I don't care. I just want Matthews to get 70, so I'm right.
Or you could just get 70 next year.
No. Yeah. Because I called it between you and me, you're like, he's going to get under 64, and look at him now. But anyways,
it's I believe at that point he was in a bit of a slow streak. Points leaders, though, that's a bit of a different story. Matthews has nothing to do with that category.
No, which is hilarious. I mean, he's still six.
Yeah, but he doesn't pass. If he passed a little more, he probably would, but he wouldn't have less goals. But he's not in the top five, is he? Because no. Number five, again, in a normal year, Pastrnak, great year, 109 points.
Mm-hmm.
Artemi Panarin, 118 points. Excellent season from Panarin. Doesn't really matter, because number three, we got Connor McDavid with 130 points. Now, McDavid is not going to get the Art Ross this year, obviously, but the insane comeback he had from being like 170th in league scoring to third is pretty good.
I was, you know, laughing under my breath there, because like the two major people as far as stats wise have such lopsided stats. If you look at McDavid and Matthews, their stats are so lopsided. It's
insane. Because McDavid is sitting at 130 points and 99 assists. But he scored 31 goals. But then what was it? The year before, last year, didn't he score like 64?
Yes.
He scored 64 goals and still had 89 assists. Like, this is an off year for him. Now, he was injured a couple games for sure, but
oh boy.
This guy, dude, man. This is Jesus Christ. He has only had in his career two seasons under 100 points.
Yeah.
And one of those seasons he played 45 games. And the other season he played 64 games and he had 97 points. He's pretty good. But he is not going to win the Art Ross this year. And probably neither is Nathan MacKinnon, even though he has 138 points. Which is even more fucking ridiculous. But no. Our scoring leader with 43 goals, 98 assists for 141 points. Nikita Kucherov. Nikita Kucherov, my man. He is having a career year. His previous high of 128 points was back in 18-19. But he is on fire. Now, here's something, and it's funny because there's a few different players or a few different fans of teams that are really fighting about who should win the Hart, or basically the MVP. Obviously, Kucherov both has a lot of points and has a big lead on his teammates. I think he has like at least a 40 or something point lead on Braden Point. Here's a caveat, though. Of his 141 points, which, holy shit. Sorry, I just can't get over that. 52 of those points are on the power play.
Yeah.
Now, it is easier to score on the power play, absolutely. But I don't think that that should take anything away from it. I don't think because your coach puts you on the power play, that means you can't win the Hart. In fact, that's an argument for you.
Oh, he's got 100-ish points not on the power play is what that tells me.
You getting put on the power play is a sign of you're a good player, you're important to the team, you're on the power play.
Yeah.
Like, so fans are trying to, especially like fans of Nathan MacKinnon, are saying that to try to like, you know, get MacKinnon the win, which MacKinnon also has had an incredible season and he could win the Hart as well.
It's like saying the goals that Matthews got on the power play shouldn't count, or he Ovechkin. Also
hasn't scored, he hasn't scored that many goals on the power play this year.
Oh, really? I kind of assumed so.
Well, you take away his 18 power play goals, he still has 51 goals. He's still four goals behind Sam Reinhardt for first at that point.
True.
So, like, yeah, he has a bunch, but, like, even if you take them away, he's still, like, that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. Before we completely run out of time, has any – let's talk about goalies for a little bit and then finish off with –
Sounds good. Well –
a little bit.
We got – we got some interesting wins leaders. If I would have told you before the start of this season that Alexander Georgiev would be leading the goalies in wins, you might have believed me because he plays for the Avalanche, and the Avalanche are very good. Because despite the fact that Georgiev leads this league in wins, his numbers are terrible. His numbers are actually really bad. He has a 3 goals against average.
Yeah, I was looking at the points leader. I was like, who are you talking about? But then you mentioned wins. I was like, oh. Because he's not on top 10.
No. So he .897 save percentage. Brutal. This team clearly outscores their problems with Georgiev. Bobrovsky, however, at number two. Now, this is a decent stat, right? He's got 237 goals against average, 2.37, and a .915 save. Like, that's a goalie that's earned those wins. No offense to Georgiev, but...
I kind of see why Florida's been doing so well. They have two of the top three goalies for goals against average.
Yeah, that helps, for sure. Anthony Stolarz, he's got a fucking two goals against average and a .926 save percentage.
They also have, like, two of the top 10 for save percentage, too, so...
Yeah, no, it's Florida's definitely had some great goaltending. Just throwing it out there, Thatcher Demko has had an excellent season. 34 wins. He's been injured, but he's got a 2.4 goals against and a .917 save percentage.
Yeah, he's been injured recently.
He is currently injured, but is slated to return potentially in the next game or for the playoffs. I'm not sure.
At this point, I would say just keep him out. Maybe put him on the bench for a backup for, you know, last couple games or something, regular season. But
keep him fresh, keep him healthy. Interestingly enough, we have a three-way tie.
Oh, I like myself a three. I mean, what?
What? And we have a three-way tie for shutouts, and I guarantee it's not who you would think it would be. At least one of them. So
you're not wrong. I'd say two out of the three.
Yeah, there's three guys here that have six shutouts. Number one, Sergei Bobrovsky. Not a shocker. He's been having a great season, and yeah, that checks out. Number two, Tristan Jarry for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And if you've been paying attention at all this year, you know that the Penguins suck. Now, they might be barely making it to the playoffs. We'll see.
This is between them or Detroit, I do believe.
I believe so. But interestingly enough for him. But number three, I think probably the biggest out-of-place name on here, and no offense to this guy, Connor Ingram from the, well, I don't know what to call him. Currently, I guess.
The Salt Lake City. I don't know.
They can't call them the Salt Lake City Coyotes, can they? Salt Lake City Jazz. But anyway, yeah, Connor Ingram, six shutouts. So, yeah. Good for him, I guess.
You don't see him on the list of any of the other stats, though. So basically what this tells me is he had six good games.
Well,
that's about it.
How many wins do the Coyotes have? Because that's
maybe double that. No, that's not triple that. I mean, I have it here. I could look.
You could. The Sharks have confirmed, or they've basically...
They have 35 wins, the Coyotes.
The Sharks have locked up last place in the league. I'm just looking at the standings here. They have a goal differential of negative 139. Dude. Oh, my God. Oh, that's so bad. Oh,
Nikita has more points than Townsend's goal differential.
Kucherov just barely.
Yeah.
And the season's not over, so we'll see. But I don't know. Yeah, it's been an excellent season. Good fights, good goals, crazy amounts of points.
Any massive surprises that came across before we, you know, go into the playoff side of things?
I'm just excited for awards. That's always fun. I know it's after, but it's always fun to see who actually gets this shit. But No, I'm hyped up for the playoffs. I'm excited.
They're basically all the teams that I anticipated that were going to make the playoffs, more or less made the playoffs. The West right now, we're not going to get into the predictions. Right now, the West basically, well, it is all locked up. But the East is still very interesting. You got the last wild card spot. You got the Capitals with 87 points, Detroit with 87 points, the Flyers with 87 points, and the Penguins with 86 points. So, yeah, it's I love it when it comes right down to the last couple games.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a fun season, and dude, I'm stupidly excited for the playoffs.
Yeah, buddy.
More than usual, and that's even without the Flames being in it. I mean, less stress is kind of nice. By next recording, I'll have my hockey draft all done and in the books. I'll probably run through that, and we'll do some playoff predictions, and got some shit looking forward to. But this is a little longer episode, so I think it's a time to end it. What do you say, my guy?
Yeah.
I guess it can go a little longer since Austin peed in the middle and not at the end like he usually does. But everyone
else about 30 seconds, but yeah.
Yeah, but usually you have to run away like a little, I don't know, goat.
Somebody has to pee?
I don't know. A race car. Everyone out there, stay stoned.
Like a race car?
I don't know. Vroom, vroom. Let me sign off. God damn it. This is a long episode. I got work to go to. Everyone out there.
I don't think vrooming has anything to do with my pee. No, I'm just
Everyone out there. Stay stoned. I'm waiting for the interruption by interrupting myself. And stay safe.
Bye. I knew you interrupted my
interrupted Austin.